Continuing with Raymond Williams. Quote, from the late 17th century, the use of class as a general word for a group or division became more and more common. What's then most difficult is that class came to be used in this way about people as well as about plants and animals, but without social implications of the modern kind. Development of class in its modern social sense, with relatively fixed names for particular classes, lower class, upper class, working class, and so on, belongs essentially to the period between 1770 and 1840, which is also the period of the Industrial Revolution and its decisive reorganization of society. And my interjection, there's that abstract actor again, concealing the existence of conscious human actors. Continuing. The essential history of the introduction of class as a word which would supersede older names for social divisions relates to the increasing consciousness that social position is made rather than merely inherited. And my comment, i.e., it's the conscious awareness that there is a system, i.e., signals that power has retreated behind scenes, has gone into hiding. Continuing. All the older words, with their essential metaphors of standing, stepping, and arranging in rows, belong to a society in which position was determined by birth. What was changing consciousness was the new sense of a society or a particular social system which actually created social divisions, including new kinds of division. This is quite explicit in one of the first clear uses, that of Madison in the Federalist from 1787. Moneyed, he says, moneyed and manufacturing interests grow up of necessity in civilized nations and divide them into different classes, actuated by different sentiments and views, unquote. Under the pressure of this awareness, says Raymond Williams, greatly sharpened by the economic changes of the Industrial Revolution and the political conflicts of the American and French Revolutions, the new vocabulary of class began to take over. With this said, we can trace the formation of the newly specific class vocabulary. Lower classes was used in 1772, and lowest classes and lowest class were common from the 1790s. These carry some of the marks of the transition, but don't complete it. More interesting, because less dependent on an old general sense in which the lower classes would be not very different from the common people, is the new and increasingly self-conscious and self-used description of the middle classes. This has precedence in men of a middle condition, from 1716, the middle station of life, from Defoe, 1719, the middling people of England, generally good-natured and stout-hearted, from 1718, the middling and lower classes, from 1789. Gisborne, in 1795, wrote an inquiry into the duties of men in the higher rank and middle classes of society in Great Britain. Rank was still used at least as often as in James Mill from 1820, quote, the class which is universally described as both the most wise and the most virtuous part of the community, the middle rank, unquote, from his essay on government. But here, class has already taken on a general social sense, used on its own. The swell of self-congratulatory description reached a temporary climax in Brougham's speech of 1831, quote, by the people, I mean the middle classes, the wealth and intelligence of the country, the glory of the British name, unquote. There is a continuing curiosity in this development. Middle belongs to a disposition between lower and higher, in fact, as an insertion between an increasingly insupportable high and low. But clearly in Brougham, and very often since, the upper or higher part of the model virtually disappears, or rather, awareness of a higher class is assigned to a different dimension, that of a residual but respected but essentially displaced aristocracy. And that's on quote from Raymond Williams' Key Words, A Vocabulary of Culture and Society. What these observations suggest, particularly in the context of our ongoing theme of power hiding itself in the aftermath of the French Revolution, in its determination to make itself and the world, make mischief clandestine, according to the guidance provided by Plato's Republic, is the emergence of a conscious strategy among a self-identifying, self-creating, I'm wondering, probably at some point explain why. See, I use that term self-creating in a specific sense, so I don't know if it's appropriate here. Self-reflecting transnational people adopted with a missionary zeal to make order from mess using money and philosophical education and, of course, us, we who make everything as means. They became social experimenters. We were made into the means. And in this context, you see what I'm saying? In order for them to make themselves, they make us simultaneously in making the society they want. This is why we've just been along for the ride, because consciousness is everything. Those who act with consciousness multiply their impact multiply, many, 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 many fold. And this is one of the key lessons that power has shown us that we need to begin taking to heart. ASAP.